Today on the Arts Review, we go to America's West Coast to examine an exhibition from the Deep South. We find the perfect medium as we alight amidst a double retrospective of the work of Robert Mapplethorpe. And we go way back into the history of the Los Angeles art world as we examine the quest to articulate the female experience through abstract sculpture. I'm Georgina Godwin, and that's all ahead on today's Monocle Arts Review. Our guide today is the arts and culture journalist Richard Bentz. Richard, you're taking us first to the Hammer Museum and the show Leap Before You Look, Black Mountain College, 1933 to 1957. It's on in Los Angeles, but it's all about North Carolina. Tell us about Black Mountain College.
Black Mountain College was a school in the middle of nowhere. It's rooted in the Deep South, as you say, in North Carolina. And at the time, 1933 to 1957, when it was in operation, it had a profound influence on the emergence of the mid-century American avant-garde. During that period, it weathered all sorts of adversities, namely the Great Depression, the Cold War, and World War II. So it became a little bit of a safe haven for emigres from escaping from World War II, but also from Mexico and indeed all over the world, and became this little dynamo of avant-garde art.
That was clearly down to the teachers and the students from all over the world who were there. So tell us what was special about them and the discussion and the work that they encouraged.
It was at an interesting time. There was a bit of a culture war going on when the conservatives were very much pressing and pushing the regionalist art, which was basically focusing on reassuring images of the American heartland. What we have here is a group of people who are cross arts mediums. So it's a full liberal arts college, music, theatre, poetry, but visual art was definitely its centrepiece. And Joseph and Annie Albers were inspired and came from Europe, but were Bauhaus. So it was a unique mix of avant-garde art disciplines.
And also a different way of living. I mean, many of them lived together as a community.
That's right. Meetings were inspired by the Quaker rules. So there was no leaders. It was a bit of a hippie commune, if you like. And because it was born in the Great Depression, there is this sense throughout all the disciplines of work there of making do. And yes, heavily influenced by this utopian idea of the progressive education movement. It was a cosmopolitan gathering place for artists, and those artists, namely people like Robert Rauschenberg, John Cage, Joseph and Annie Albers, as I've mentioned. So a unique little time capsule, really, that sadly no longer exists. And especially interesting that it is in North Carolina, where there is so much heat at the moment around freedom of expression.
So tell us then exactly what people will see at this show.
So they will see, for example, Jacob Lawrence's Watchmaker, which is a beautiful piece of art from 1946. They will see The Black Frame from Joseph and Annie Albers. And like I say, visual arts was absolutely at the centrepiece. But what we have also is music. So you have the music that was created at the time playing in the venue, but also you have beautiful visual captions of what it was like to actually live there. So you have images of not just the work that they created, but also this time capsule of this extraordinary venue in the middle of the Deep South, in the middle of the mountains. And it is an extraordinary step back in time.
And so far as a focus and a meaning for the show goes, what would you say that essential message is?
I'd say the essential message is that great art and avant-garde art can flourish at all odds. So the fact that this place was a gathering place for artists from across the world, and the fact that it was influenced by utopian ideals and the progressive education movement, I think it was really spearheading a culture war then, which we're having again now, but it really was a safeguard against conservative critics who were promoting a type of art which didn't wash here. It was a anything goes college, a unique liberal arts college that is sadly no longer, but a beautiful memory of it.
That's Leap Before You Look, Black Mountain College, 1933 to 1957. It runs until the 15th of May. It's at the Hammer Museum in Los Angeles. You're listening to the Monocle Arts Review, and the journalist Richard Bence is our guide today. So from the cultural wars of the Black Mountain College to a different type of cultural war now, one ignited by the 1990 Robert Mapplethorpe show, The Perfect Moment. Richard, first of all, what made that original show so seminal?
Well, it was at a time when there was intense anxiety around sex and the body. So the AIDS epidemic had ripped through the heart of America. And at the time, there was a real sense of terror and fear. But also, there was a real crisis around whether the public dollar should be funding what could be considered as obscenity. So the Mapplethorpe's retrospective, it was a retrospective then because he had actually died the year before of AIDS-related illness, it was at the forefront of the war against the freedom of expression. So it was a perfect storm, and actually when it was vetoed and cancelled in Washington and then in Cincinnati, the man who was in charge of the exhibition was arrested. And he was later let off, and it was a landmark case.
So that particular battle may have been won on America's West Coast, but of course, as you mentioned earlier, we see the battle still raging in North Carolina, giving more power to that fight, though. Two of LA's art titans, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, that's LACMA, and the Getty, who give Mapplethorpe top billing with a twin retrospective of his work in Robert Mapplethorpe, The Perfect Medium. So tell us about this historic collaboration. First, let's hear a little bit about LACMA.
Well, this is, the, as you say, the two glittering art institutions of Los Angeles. This twin retrospective is actually the first time in their history that LACMA and the Getty are jointly planning such an adventure. And really, at heart, LACMA focuses on Mapplethorpe's working methods, sources, and creative processes. The Getty is focusing more on the artist's studio practice and figure studies, and indeed legacy. So it is in itself an interesting time, an interesting moment. And as you say, 25 years ago, a very different environment for Mapplethorpe, and the fact that this gets top billing across the city here is a sign of the times.
Tell us how the exhibition's organised, and I believe it's in five separate parts, at least the LACMA part of it.
The show at the Getty is interesting because Mapplethorpe's patron and lover, Sam Wagstaff, he donated his private collection to the Getty when he passed. So also at the Getty, you get his private collection, which extends beyond Mapplethorpe's work. But at its core, in both exhibitions, we have his portraits, his sex pictures, and his flowers.
And what's really interesting, of course, about Wagstaff's collection is the fact that for the first time we were seeing a real value being given to photography.
That's correct. Up until that point, photography had been considered a bastard of the arts. And it is really thanks to Sam Wagstaff that he changed photography forever. No one imagined back then that photographs would become so valuable.
That's Robert Mapplethorpe, The Perfect Medium. It's co-organised by LACMA and the John Paul Getty Museum. It runs until July. Our final stop on this Monocle Arts Review with our expert guide, cultural journalist Richard Bence, is downtown Los Angeles, where Hauser, Wirth and Schimmel have opened in a sixth location in a former grain store in the Arts District. With exhibition spaces in London, in New York and in Zurich, it's a statement to the rest of the world that, as a global art metropolis, Los Angeles has arrived. As if we had any doubt. Richard, tell us about this new venue.
Yes, it's interesting in a lot of ways. I think that Los Angeles is having a bit of a cultural moment is well documented. And like many cities, I think Los Angeles is proud of its cultural heritage, but it also sees its lack of history as an advantage. So here we see this booming construction of glossy projects like the Broad Museum, which opened last year, and the Hauser Wirth being the most exciting and glamorous addition. Like you say, a statement to the rest of the world. It's a sprawling historic flour mill in downtown Los Angeles with museum-caliber exhibitions, a robust schedule, public programs, etc. It really is a fascinating insight into the urban culture of LA today.
And the exhibition it's chosen to open with, 100 works by 34 women artists over the past 70 years. Tell us about that.
Yes, it really focuses on the way women over that period, the 70-year period you just said, are seeking or have sought new means to express their own voices. So to begin with, it traces this revolution with the intimate processes of the handmade in the 40s and 50s through the one-to-one relationship with materials in the private studio. So separately, Los Angeles is interesting as just an art creation place because there are almost 400,000 visual artists living here, and that's partly because the rents are cheaper and all that sort of thing. So Los Angeles in itself has a thriving art scene where art is actually created. But what this exhibition spotlights is the particular and unique way that women have used abstract sculpture to transform the language of art to suit them.
That show's called Revolution in the Making. It runs until September the 4th. Finally, before we go, just a little look back at something else that Hauser and Wirth have been doing, and that was this past weekend in Cologne, where they were exporting three of Los Angeles' top artists to show in Europe. Give us a rundown of that.
Yes, so to celebrate the Hauser Wirth and Schimmel's opening in Los Angeles this weekend, they had three artists at the heart of LA's cultural history on display at Art Cologne, they being Richard Jackson, Paul McCarthy, and Jason Rhodes. These were three preeminent figures of the American contemporary art world, two of whom are still up and running, and a fascinating, in particular, Rhodes, very much the artist's artist, raunchy is a word that's often attached to his work. He sadly died in 2006. But McCarthy, he presents these bacchanalian, chaotic, debauched scenes, and his points of reference are typically American and very much based on the West Coast. So Disneyland, B-movies, soap operas. But he's very much a critical analyst of American society. So just a very fascinating little export there from Los Angeles in Europe last weekend.
And yes, to celebrate Hauser, Wirth and Schimmel opening up a new venture in Los Angeles. That brings us to the end of today's show. Very many thanks to my guest, Richard Bentz. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. The show was produced by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Do join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll talk music. But for now, goodbye from me and thanks for listening.